Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. Here's this week's scripture reading and sermon.
I'm reading from John chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw signs that what he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up to the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming towards him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for those people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him a king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. The word of God for the people of God.
In today's gospel reading from John, Jesus and the disciples find themselves surrounded by a big crowd of people. And actually, if you listened carefully, you would have heard that the text actually says that the crowd of people are following them because they have seen the work that Jesus can do, healing the sick, feeding the hungry. When Jesus realized what was happening, he asked the disciples where they could find food to feed everybody who was following them around. Ever the pragmatist, Philip answers, 6 months' wages wouldn't even afford a snack for this crowd. Then Andrew noticed a little boy who had some bread and some fish, but even he could not imagine that would be near enough for the masses. Looking around and seeing only scarcity, the disciples worried about what they could possibly do. Little did they know they were about to witness a miracle. One of Jesus' most famous miracles. In fact, aside from the resurrection itself, this would be the only miracle recorded in all 4 Gospels. But they didn't know that then. Some say it happened when Jesus took the bread and blessed it, giving thanks before passing the loaves around. Like a magician pulling a rabbit out of a hat, or like Mary Poppins, who can somehow pull a long umbrella out of a small purse, it doesn't feel like much of a stretch to imagine Jesus invoking his divine nature to ensure that the loaves just kept on coming from the table. But I wonder, do we latch on to that idea over all the other possibilities because it requires so little of us? This summer, while I was attending the CBF Advocacy Breakfast in Dallas, Texas, I heard Reverend Eugene Cho, who is the CEO of Bread for the World. I heard him give a talk on this story of Jesus feeding the multitudes. And as he spoke, he brought up the most interesting point that I had never considered before. In ancient Galilee, you see, there was no McDonald's. There was no Taco Bell. There was no Sola coffee or sawmill tap room across the street to hop over and grab some lunch if you didn't really plan ahead. There were no sandwich joints or delis or fast food restaurants. If somebody was going to leave home for the whole day, they had to pack their lunch and bring it with them. And if this little boy remembered to pack his lunch before leaving home on that day, odds are that in a crowd of 5,000 men, he wasn't the only one. So isn't it possible that this little boy, knowing what he had in his pockets, or maybe tied into a satchel onto his waistband, isn't it possible that he realized that he had something of which others had a great need? What he had, and stepped forward saying, "This is my food. It is your food. Use it as you wish." Researchers estimate that this year over 820 million people are going to bed hungry every night. This would mark the fourth year in a row that global hunger has risen after almost a decade of decline. Many believe that the world is even hungrier now than ever due to the perfect storm of things like climate change and war and the COVID-19 pandemic and all the economic turmoil that is happening because of those things. Here in the U.S., we're facing our own hunger crisis with estimates as much as 42 million people. That's one in every eight Americans experiencing food insecurity this year. This is the reason behind the two-in-a-row months designated for hunger awareness and action. Did you know that September is Hunger Action Month? And did you read the Spirit of Justice blog this month saying October is Tackling Hunger Month? It should not be lost on us as people of faith that World Communion Sunday is situated right in the middle of those two. As we gather around tables with Christians around the world seeking unity and solidarity and recognizing that we are one in Christ, we cannot forget that while our bellies may be full, so many come to this table and others much like it, starving. It can be tempting to look at this problem just like we look at other big problems, as if they are too complex for us to solve. Like the disciples on the hillside, we might look upon the crowds of 5,000 and see only scarcity. But maybe today that could be different. Maybe today when we hear the question uttered from Jesus' lips, "Where will we find food to feed them?" Maybe we might be inspired by the little boy. And maybe we might respond by saying, "You know, I don't have much. Surely it isn't enough. But here is my bread. It is your bread. Use it as you wish."